G&J Pepsi-Cola Bottlers proudly presents BBN Chalk Talk, a sports show with a distinct Kentucky flavor.
Welcome to BBN Chalk Talk, presented by G&J Pepsi-Cola Bottling on 590 WBOK and 97.3 FM, where Lexington comes to talk. We've got a great show for you. Bowl selection. This is the unofficial bowl selection show for the University of Kentucky and the college football playoff. They texted me, so don't worry about it. We've got our credentials,
It's legit?
It's legit. Okay. It's legit. Don't worry about it because I said so.
All right, cool.
We're going to talk the conference championships, the Pac-12, the SEC, the Big Ten, and the Big 12, and especially the impact of the SEC game. UK dominance in all sports, hashtag everything school. It is trending. Men's basketball, women's basketball, and then, of course, we've got our food topic, your favorite Christmas cookie. I am extreme. I shouldn't be this excited over a food topic, but I am. I am. With me always is Matt Smith and Greg Lyle. Guys, it's the most wonderful time of the year, and I'm not talking about Christmas. I'm talking about the absolute chaos and internet burning into flames over what's about ready to happen with this college football playoff.
We've literally been here for like the last 25 minutes, and we've just been arguing the whole time.
I thought the show had already started.
Yeah. Now I feel like the show's over because we've already got all of our arguing out. Now we got to redo it all on air here.
Oh, so, I'm revamped. Yeah. I'll go again.
But the crazy thing is, as I just said to you guys before we came on here, the College Football Playoff Committee, based off of their rankings from last week, has a chance to have no controversy whatsoever in this by just moving Oklahoma into that four spot because Georgia Lawson is now out of that four spot. But who knows what they're going to do? Ohio State's very much in play. Georgia could still be in play. Oklahoma's still in play. UCF, good Lord, I hope they're not in play, but they might be. Who knows?
Make sure to text in onto the text line at 859-253-5959 or tweet at us at BBN Chalk Talk and bring in your college football predictions, or if you just want to talk anything else, your favorite Christmas cookie as well. Do that.
Marcus Spears just released his thoughts, and he's kind of accurate.
Yeah, I like him.
So he says that it will be Bama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Oklahoma, but he said it should be Bama, Clemson, Georgia, and Notre Dame.
I agree with that 100%.
I agree with that, too. That's exactly what I was going to say. I think Georgia should be in, but I think it will be Oklahoma.
And if they're in, they would have to bump them to three because nobody wants to see
Alabama, Georgia again.
Yeah.
But if you went with those four teams, you went with Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, Notre Dame. Notre Dame is not as good of a team as Georgia is. They are not.
No, they're not.
And no stretch of the imagination. If you believe that, you're delusional at this point. I would even argue that Georgia's a better team than Clemson.
Yeah.
Because I don't think – basically, if you're wanting a shot to beat Bama, if that's what you're wanting, and you can make the whole argument, you know, is Bama bad for college football? Is it bad for the whole experience and all that, giving teams a shot and all that? Ignore that. But if you're wanting a team to beat Bama – Georgia is the only one that's shown that it can at least get within 7 points. Everyone else has lost by 20 plus. Like, no one. And that's the part that just absolutely just drives me nuts over this. Because everyone knows what it should be. Yep. Everyone knows what it should be.
Yep.
But it's it's probably going to be this. No, that's why the college football playoff, if we were going off the computer system, we would still be going with BCS. It's supposed to be off a gut feeling. Ask Vegas. If you were to ask people in Vegas who would be in the top four, Georgia would be favored. I would argue they'd be favored against Clemson, maybe be a toss-em game. They would be heavily favored against Notre Dame. They would be favored against Oklahoma, and they would be favored against Ohio State. That exact same argument was last year with Alabama.
Yeah.
The exact same argument. If Alabama was favored against everyone, and you screwed Clemson over by putting them as a four seed. So to me, if that's what it should be, then that's what it should be. There is no controversy. If you're going to put the four best teams in, put the four best teams in.
Right, but here's what happens, because I agree 100% with that, and that's the reason I think Georgia still has a shot this year. I think in previous years they wouldn't, because this committee, the committee this year, even though the excuse they gave for Kentucky, the whole Kentucky-Florida thing was just ridiculous because all they'd reverted to was total body of work when they should have said – if you're looking at the teams right now, Florida is better than Kentucky. Because I would agree with that at this point in the season. But what what they have going for them as Georgia is that this committee does a lot with the eye test, and they do a lot off of seeing what you just said. If we're really looking at who are the four best teams, taking all the statistics, the data, whatever games just happen out of it, Georgia is in the top four. The problem is now you do that, and what you're telling everybody, conference championships don't matter, is what you're telling people. Those games do not matter, and that's what it is. So that's what they have to decide between.
No, it's not conference championships don't matter. Oklahoma doesn't know how to play defense. They don't know how to play defense.
That's also true.
They're allowing, I think, what's the least amount of points they've allowed, 37?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
If ballpark, at least against Power 5 schools, against Big 12 schools. If Ohio State lost to Purdue by 29. They lost to them by 29. This exact same argument was last year with Ohio State when they lost to Iowa by 31. Right. If you want to be in the playoff, don't lose by 29 or 31 to a mediocre Big Ten team.
Yep.
I mean, there shouldn't be an argument. And then UCF hasn't played anyone. They played one top 25 team, and then that top 25 team hasn't played any top 25 teams besides UCF and lost.
Right.
This shouldn't be a conversation.
Well, and look here, and we're literally watching live on TV as this is happening. They're talking about hypothetical lines on neutral fields between these games as far as who's going to be in that fourth spot. And if they match Georgia-Oklahoma together, Georgia would be favored by 3.5. They would, it just went off the screen, but Georgia would also be favored against Ohio State on neutral fields. So they're saying, according to whoever is doing the lines there, Vegas, that they're saying that Georgia is the better team between both of them on neutral field.
So Georgia should be in.
Agreed. I agree.
I know you agree. I know all of us agrees.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just because on the College Football Show this morning, College Football Live, they had Ohio State over Oklahoma as a 71% chance of getting in. How? How can you justify that?
You can't. Because, and look, you're looking at the data, and this is what College Football Playoff put out last week. They put Oklahoma above Ohio State, 5-6. Oklahoma was playing the number 14 team, beat them by 12. Ohio State, at the sixth spot, was playing the number 21 team in Northwestern and beat them by 21. The College Football Playoff was the one that ranked them. So, in my mind, you can't make Ohio State jump Oklahoma when both teams won by double digits and Oklahoma was playing a better opponent. You can't do that in my mind, but who knows? I don't know. That's the problem with this is we don't know what they're thinking in that room or what they've been talking about. But if Ohio State gets in, that's the wrong answer. If Oklahoma gets in, I understand. It should be Georgia.
And let me rephrase. If Oklahoma gets in, I'm not going to be irate.
Right.
I'm not going to be mad because they only have one loss. And I understand the reservation with Georgia because they have two losses. But look who the two losses are against.
Right.
Against LSU.
LSU and Bama.
And Bama.
Right.
And Bama, you can make the argument that they probably should had a chance to win that game if they didn't go for a fake punt, which they, as you pointed out, Matt, before the show, they went with a fake punt. But
why?
It's
the same reason they lost to LSU. They had a fake special teams play against LSU, ended up losing the game because of it. So
just not really trying to read in anything, but do you think it's odd that Georgia's not having one of the watch parties?
They are.
Like that. No, they just said Georgia is not having a watch party.
The team is not.
The team is not.
They had a reporter there, but the team's not.
Yeah, they have a reporter there, but they're just out in the field house sitting. I still say there's teams that know. Like right now, they've already had that phone call.
You think?
You think?
Oh, yeah. I think there's already been phone calls made to those schools.
Is that why all the Notre Dame guys were in there dancing? Or
probably.
Do you think there's like only certain people at the universities that know?
I bet you they've called the ADs and they've called the SIDs and stuff like that just because they've got to have stuff.
Yeah.
Because watch how quickly things are put out afterwards.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about it because we got, in 15 minutes here at 12:30, the College Football Playoff, they're going to be releasing the top four. 2 o'clock, they're going to be releasing the rest of the top 25. And then at 3 o'clock, they're going to talk about the New Year's Six bowls, and then all the rest of the bowls will fall in after that, probably up until about 4 o'clock here. We're only obviously going to be on until 1 o'clock. So we'll talk about the top four and where things sit and kind of as that unfolds here as we've been analyzing it leading into that. But, yeah. We're excited to be able to do this live here, at least for the first hour.
Exactly.
And now Max has a reason not to follow the script.
I have so much fun with this show, and the number one reason why we're able to have so much fun is because of G&J Pepsi-Cola bottling. I mean, that's why. I mean, we came to them with this idea of getting on to 590, and they went, okay, we like it too.
Yeah.
And they've been a phenomenal sponsor to work with, and you may be thinking, like, man, if G&J is having this much fun, maybe I want to have fun also. I mean, wouldn't you like to have fun, Matt?
I love
it. Wow, wouldn't you like to have fun?
I occasionally like to have some fun.
That's why you drive to Lexington it, 20 times a week is to have fun.
Exactly.
I know where every blade of grass is on 64 East and West.
Do you own or manage a business that uses advertising to market to your customer base? Today, there are more marketing channels and mediums and opportunities than at any other time in our history. It's a fact. Radio's audience continues to grow, adding new listeners by the millions every year. And now with podcasts and more streaming audio in the mix, the universe of listeners continues to expand. When it comes to impacting consumer behavior, nothing succeeds quite like radio. Listening to a show is an activity that involves our attention, our imagination, and our engagement. Psychologists believe that this sort of cognitive processing is why radio is so much more effective at influencing behavior, and because radio is often part of our communities and daily habits, it is one of the most trusted ways to advertise. Whether it is getting people to go online, make a purchase, stop into a restaurant, or spread the word for a product, nothing works better than radio. Do you think partnering with BB and Chalk Talk to advertise is a good fit for your company? Want to know all the different ways we can help you reach more customers? Contact us today at info@bbnchalktalk.com, and we will follow up immediately to answer your questions. Guys, hashtag everything school, because everyone is doing phenomenal, and we're going to talk a little bit about the men's soccer and volleyball, but I want to open up with soccer, because the season ended, and it didn't end the way that we wanted it to, with all everything going in. Such a great game last week. They fell short against Maryland. The Wildcats saw that magical season in the Elite Eight with a 1-0 loss. UK closes the year with a 19-2-1 record, following the deepest NCAA tournament run in program history.
They say nil in soccer. 1-0.
Nil. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's cool.
I kind of like that.
European-British thing.
European.
1-0. But it's the thing that it's a disappointing ending to a great season, but it's a building block now. And that's what you're seeing with a lot of these sports programs within UK, or a lot of magical seasons that are not just a shot in the dark kind of season. These are building blocks to something great.
It's not flukes. It's not flukes that's going on. When you look at I've got some recruiting news to come out later this week. I've been trying to follow all these sports, and it's not – who they have now, but they're graduating a few seniors that are key to their programs, but then we also have a load of talent coming in behind them.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a growth opportunity.
And this is, for men's soccer, unquestionably the 2018 season was the most successful in school history. The Wildcats swept Conference USA regular season and tournament championship to earn a number 3 national seed a year after they missed out on the NCAA tournament altogether. There, they tripled the program's all-time tournament win total, building enough excitement in Lexington to convince 3,228 fans to spend the last Friday night of November at the Wendell and Vicky Bell Soccer Complex.
Yeah, on Friday night, between the soccer game and the volleyball match, there was over 6,000 fans attended both games. That was unbelievable.
It's fantastic. And then, only one senior. You only had one senior on that team. So when we say it's a building block, this team doesn't rebuild next year. They're going to reload, and it's going to be awesome to see.
And we look at the same thing with volleyball. Volleyball is graduating 4 seniors, but they're a real, real young team, and they've got a good recruiting class coming in behind them. So that's going to be interesting to see. Before we dive into volleyball, I got a public service announcement. We're also wrapped up in this college football thing.
Yep.
Don't forget about your fantasy football teams today.
Yeah. I'm so glad you just said that. Next break, I got to take a look real quick.
I just noticed that, too, because I saw the scroll at the bottom about the NFL games, and I was like, oh, wait a minute.
Uh-oh.
My lineup. Okay. Yeah, so public service announcement, if you are listening. Today is a very special day for us in college football world, but don't forget about your NFL fantasy football rosters, yep, because they lock here in about 40 minutes as well. Volleyball, man, what a weekend we had. We hosted the first 2 rounds of the NCAA tournament. On Friday night, the girls took on Murray State and just dominated them from the open serve. UK hit for almost 40%, 39.8%. We had 3 girls that had double-digit kills. Allie Stumler had her 4th double-double, where she had 12 kills and 15 digs on the night. So just a phenomenal game. Like I said, a packed house at Memorial to see them. And then last night they faced Purdue in front of almost another 3,000 people. And this is – Coach Skinner said this after the game. It was really – it was kind of sad for the sport to see two top 12 teams playing in the second round of the NCAA, mm-hmm. and one of these teams had to go home. Purdue was ranked number 12. Kentucky comes in at number 10. Outside of a little hiccup they had there in the second set, Kentucky swept all three sets to win the match. We had two girls in double-digit kills. Leah Edmond had 13, and Brooke Morgan had herself another game last night. She had 12 kills and had four service aces last night. The night before, she had four digs in one rally. She set a career record for digs in one service rally against Morehead State. But the girls are playing phenomenal right now. They're going to have to go on the road, unfortunately, to Minnesota. Minnesota is hosting the Final Four as well, so hopefully these girls are making a trip to Minnesota back-to-back weeks. But we'll face Nebraska in the first this will be the third round, the Sweet 16. And then in the Elite Eight, it looks like we would face Minnesota, who is hosting next week. So watch out for more to come. I'm sure we'll have some opportunities to talk to Coach Skinner and the girls before they get on the road and head up to Minnesota. But make sure if you can't make the trip up there, you catch them on TV and on the internet and really support these girls because they're on an amazing run right now.
Isn't this just fantastic?
Love it. This is great.
That we could just cover everyone
yeah.
and be like, yeah, they're good. Yeah, they're good. They're good also. And yeah, they're good.
Yeah.
So, Matt, what about men's basketball right now?
Yeah, I mean, the basketball team just kind of got done with a lot of these games that are those beginning of the year games where you're playing some of the non-Power 5 teams, you're playing some D2 schools, things like that. And you know, they just finished a game against UNC Greensboro. It was funny because they put out a statement at the beginning of the game saying UNCG only wanted to be referred to as UNCG or the Spartans, not UNC Greensboro, not University of North Carolina Greensboro, any of those things. So I don't know what that's all about, but the Cats won 78-61, if you were watching the game yesterday. Some of the notes that came from this, some of the things that kind of stuck out in my mind is, number one, these guys seem to finally be clicking a little bit more on defense. I know it probably didn't look like it for a lot of the game, but if you knew about this UNC Greensboro team coming into the game, you knew that they were 7-1. You knew their only loss was to a number with 20-something LSU, whatever LSU was ranked at the time, and they lost by like 6 or 7 to LSU. This is a team that went to the NCAA tournament last year and almost beat Gonzaga in the NCAA tournament. They're a team that should, and I know they have a tough, you know, conference in SoCal this year, but they they're a good team. They return a lot of experience. Their leading scorer, Francis Alonzo, he scored their first 11 points, and he ended up with 22. I think he had 19 of those in the first half. But this kid has over 1,600 points already in his career in his 4 years of being there. So they're a good team, and the way that Kentucky fought with this one, the best part about this was that Coach put Ashton Hagans in on Alonzo in the second half and shut him down, only to 3 points. I think he had 1 3-pointer. But the fact that we have a guy that can be a lockdown defender and that knows he can be now, and someone that's hopefully going to be working on that more, is great for this Kentucky team to have, because defense has been one of the biggest struggles on knowing, having the anticipation of where things are going. The help defense still struggles because our guards are getting beat a lot, which is causing that help defense down low and causing easy dump-offs or putbacks by these other teams. But if we can get better at those guard spots on being able to stay in front of guys, this team's going to be rock solid defensively.
I think as Coach Cal has started to get – this is going to blow your mind. It's addition by subtraction.
What's that? What's that?
God, not only are we talking about basketball, but then we throw math in on Godby.
Yeah.
He's lost.
Yep.
I think, you know, with, you know, first focusing on the big men, having the three big men to have to try to figure out playing time and figure out rotations with Nick Richards kind of pulling himself out of the situation from what it sounds like what's going on, we've seen our big man have a lot better play when you just get that two-man rotation.
Right.
So I think the guard play is up next for them.
Yep, I agree.
And what will happen. But my biggest question is – thank the man upstairs for Reed Travis.
Oh, my
grown
gosh.
Man basketball yesterday.
Yeah.
Because if we did not have him,
yeah,
where would we be?
No, I don't know.
The storyline would be a whole lot different today.
Yeah. He's just a steady guy. He had his first career double-double at UK. Obviously, he's had plenty of them at Stanford. But his first double-double, he had 22 points and 12 rebounds. But he wasn't the only one. Keldon Johnson, who went down with an ankle injury that he had to go straight back to the locker room, couldn't even put pressure on. Everybody was worried. Ended up coming back in the second half.
It was the shoes.
It was the shoes because they were brand-new shoes. They had just bought them the day before. Didn't have a chance to break them in. That's what Tyler Hero was saying after the game, which made everybody laugh. But Keldon ended up with 13 and 11 as far as points and rebounds here, so ended up with a double-double. It's good to see him back and that he wasn't hurt, because without Keldon Johnson, this team might be in a lot of trouble, because that kid's a playmaker too. So just all around, I think what you talked about with the rotation, Cal said he's only going to play three bigs, and he's told us this for a couple weeks now. And right now, Nick Richards is that number four. So he said if Nick can work himself into the top three, someone else is going to be sitting, because Nick didn't get in until like 15 minutes left in the game. He didn't play it all the first half and for a good fourth of the second
half.
And
then in the blowout game the game before, he only got, what, 9 minutes or something like that? Yeah. It was really low.
Yeah, and Cal said he ended up taking him back out yesterday because it was a close game and he just didn't want to put someone fresh in there, and he wanted guys that had been used to the game.
So if you were a guard for the University of Kentucky right now, you should probably be paying attention to how he's handling the bigs right now.
He's slowly getting
because
from 10
you're
down
next.
To, yeah, he's slowly getting his team from 10 guys playing down to that 7 or 8 range. I think 8 or 9 ended up playing yesterday, and he'll be down to 6 or 7 here probably as we get into conference play. But, you know, luckily for the guys, they get some breaks here coming up. They don't play again until next Saturday. For early the next 3 weeks, they have Saturday games. They don't have any weeknight games, so they're going to get full week's rest in between then before they get into conference play.
They won't get any rest.
Well, yeah. Rest from a game. But
isn't
yes.
this about the time that, yes. that Camp Cal starts kicking in?
Usually.
Yeah,
usually. Yep. I've heard it's fun.
That's true. I guess rest from the fans.
Yes.
That's what they get.
Rest from that.
But, hey, Rupp was awesome. Rupp was loud. They were getting after it against this game, which was awesome to see at a 1 o'clock game on a Saturday. I was a little worried about how they were going to react to this. But they were there and fully out and supporting this team. And they're getting better. We're seeing progress, which is important.
Hey, don't forget, send us in your comments on the text line, the 590 text line, 859-253-5959. Or hit us up on Twitter. Just mention us in the Twitter at bbnchalktalk.com. We're watching both of them.
You tweeted out the pick, right?
No, I didn't. I'm trying to figure it out.
Multitasking.
I will. Yeah. I'm going to. I didn't want to miss what was going on the TV screen, so I stopped.
I got distracted trying to figure out how I can prop my head up and lay down for this whole show.
I'm having to hold the mic right now. This is a little awkward, but I'm willing to do this right now. The TV in the studio. Exactly. The TV in the studio is behind us, so we've had to turn everything around to be able to give you our analysis of who is going to be the fourth team, because we already know the three.
The first three is no surprise to anybody. Alabama's one, Clemson is two, and the Fighting Irish are number three.
So now
and
the question is,
the drama is over who that final fourth pick is. And, of course, ESPN is dragging it out because they've got time to fill before their next commercial break.
Exactly.
And got to get everything loaded up for all the Twitter chaos. I wonder if this pick will shut down Twitter.
Here. They're going to go number six first here.
Are they really?
Yep, Oklahoma.
Oklahoma's in.
Oh, they're in
all
the
right.
four.
Okay.
All right. I thought they would go six first.
It was Oklahoma, so the Big 12 does get a team in.
Okay. Alabama and Oklahoma and Clemson and Notre Dame.
So winner, winner. You're the number four team, but you get to face Alabama.
Yep.
Let's see how that defense holds up against Bama.
So 5 and 6, these are the next two out. So this has to be Ohio State.
And Georgia. Perfect, David. And it is.
I might be waiting here for a second because they're feeling like they're going to talk about this for a minute.
Yeah,
Ohio David, State. How long does that last?
50 seconds.
There we go.
50 seconds.
50 seconds. Keep it going. Come on. And the bad thing is the TV's on mute, so we don't know.
Yeah, what they're talking about. Like this so could be the time that Smitty got frozen on Zoom during that one show.
Yep.
And we were just staring at him.
Yep.
So this has got to be Ohio State and Georgia.
Yeah, it should be.
Well, yeah. Georgia.
Wow.
Okay.
I love
See,
it.
I would have put them at six just so
and
you,
Ohio
did,
State
just so
at
you
six.
Didn't have the conversation of how close were they to being that number four.
You didn't do the tsh at the end.
Well, I got to get that up. I'll get it.
Come on, David.
See, Max, see, right below the on-air sign, there's that volume. And when you shout and it goes bright yellow. Almost, yeah, that's bad.
No, it's not. It's fine. How come I'm always the only one that's in yellow and red? All right. Thank you, David.
There it is.
Gosh, between Matt not tweeting stuff and you.
I tweeted it all out.
Finally.
Jeez.
I just asked you to do one thing over the break. Tweet out. Okay, I'll get there. So
the safest pick.
You got another sound effects guy.
Thank you. Between, I mean, you can't argue with it.
Yeah, I want to hear. We may not hear it now, but I think they're going to have the they'll probably have the commissioner on later, and I'm really curious to hear his thoughts on how close Georgia was to staying in versus how big of a difference that Oklahoma-Georgia split was.
I want to hear that.
Yeah, I love that they kept Georgia at 5 instead of knocking them all the way back to 6 right. behind Ohio State, because I agree with this. I think Oklahoma and Georgia are close, but I think to your point, Max, that you made earlier, Oklahoma's defense is so bad that if Kyler Murray goes down for Oklahoma, they're toast. But
that game's not even going to be close.
Yeah, but because they're putting up 50, 60 points a game, it's helping them out. And I think this was the safest and made the most sense by no one can really argue this. They can hope and wish for other things, but this makes the most sense. So I think the college playoff football.
Now, really, that game, though, everybody knows Alabama's going to win that game. But the question is going to be, is the winner of the Heisman Trophy going to come out of that?
Right.
Is Tua going to play? We don't know how. I mean, he was up limping around like on the sideline, and they took him back off on a cart. So does Tua, if Tua doesn't play in this game and in the playoffs here, does this hurt his chances? Or they announced the Heisman before all that, don't they? Is the Heisman before the national?
The Heisman's
before the playoffs, right?
Oh, will it be?
Yeah, it'll
be next week.
Yeah, so never mind. So is this the Tua
winner
or Kyler? Yeah.
And then Jordan tweeted this out. Criteria number one is conference championships won. Notre Dame did not win a conference championship. They should be left out.
Love that.
Agreed. I think that is a very, very strong point.
Yeah.
Well, then you go back to the argument last year. Alabama shouldn't have been in because they didn't play in the conference championship.
But it was also Bama. Bama would have beaten, and they did, everyone in the top four. 8 teams. It's not that hard. It's not that hard. I sound like Lyle right now. Find the money.
Everywhere, every other NCAA sport has a 64-team bracket. You pare it down to what you can do because of the physicality of the game, and you can't play multiple games in a week. It's not that hard.
It is when you have so much money wrapped into it. And we'll talk about that on the other podcast where – we can get a little bit when we don't have a time restriction.
The bowls still get played. The money's still there. Just comes in at different times.
But I need money, and I need it now. Or it's my money, and I need it now. Gosh. Oh, my goodness. So, I mean, and those aren't going to be bad games. The Alabama-Oklahoma game is going to be terrible.
Yeah.
That's going to be awful.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this is going to be a true test for Alabama to see what their defense is at to like hold a high-powered offense like this. But Oklahoma hasn't seen a team like Alabama, so I think this is going to be this could very well be a blowout.
A high-power offense, but could Tua throw up if Tua played? I mean, pick your poison, Tua or Jalen.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a month to recover, and he was back on the sideline like jumping around and stuff for Jalen at the end of that game. So obviously, it's nothing that serious. Otherwise, they wouldn't have let him be out there walking around under his own power. So he has a month plus to be ready for this. He'll be fine.
He should
be. But regardless, Jalen took him to an undefeated season last year until the national championship. So even if Jalen's playing, who cares? It doesn't matter.
Again, Alabama has broken every team they've played this year. And you could argue they just broke Georgia because they broke Georgia's playoffs.
True.
Hopes. Now, what happens, hypothetically, let's just play the odds. Odds are Alabama wins that game.
Right.
If they've broken every team, I mean – you can make the argument that Louisville was already broken when they played them. But after this game, is Oklahoma able to compete anymore? Or is it like Notre Dame when they played against them in the national championship? It sent the program back like 3 years.
Well, here's the problem is that Kyler Murray already has come out and said that he's not going to be at Oklahoma next year because number one, he got drafted for MLB this last year and passed that up, and then he's going to get drafted in the NFL. So which professional sport does he want to play? It's up to him. He already said he's not coming back next year.
Bo Jackson it.
Yeah, exactly.
Do both.
Right. Yeah, do both. But I don't know who Oklahoma has behind him. I know a lot of people thought that because Baker Mayfield was leaving that Oklahoma was in trouble, but then here comes Kyler Murray. Now that Kyler Murray is going to be leaving, who's behind him? Don't know because they're going to need a lot of help on defense regardless.
Lightning can strike twice, but I don't know if it could strike three times.
Man, I don't know.
In the same spot with the same position. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah. And that other game, the Clemson-Notre Dame game, is kind of a it's kind of a lose-lose situation for me because I have zero respect for, like, where Notre Dame is right now this year. Yeah. I don't think that they should be in the top four. But I also really don't have a whole lot of respect for what Clemson has done this year. They've just kind of – they've played a lot of teams, but they really haven't
– they played an ACC schedule.
Yeah, they played an ACC schedule. And this year, the ACC schedule is – besides them, is garbage. So, I don't know.
When comes the point do you lose your Power 5 status?
That is a great question.
As a conference.
Yeah, as a conference.
Stick the whole conference and knock
them
out.
When do you – Like when do you become a mid-major and you bump a MAC up or you know something weird?
Can
like
you
that?
Yeah. Bench the ACC or Pac-12 and say, "All right, we're going to give the American Conference some reps right now"?
Yeah,
and we're just going to see what happens. I've had that conversation before. It's like, Max, we're going to sit you out for a little bit. We're going to see what someone else can do. Let's just do the same thing for Pac-12 and let's see if it motivates them a little bit.
So that's the conversation you would have Friday nights, early Saturday mornings.
Basically,
church.
We're going to put Matt in and see how he does.
See how his ankle holds up.
I think his ankle's
fine.
Holding up fine.
Every Friday night in Mike Summers and Joker Phillips' office, I knew what the conversation was going to be. Max, we need to see you Friday night. Well, I know what this is going to be about. Max, you've had a great week of practice, but we're going to go ahead and let Matt go and see what he can do.
Mm-hmm. But you stay ready in case he can't go.
Oh, okay. Sure, whatever. I'm definitely eating that second thing of pasta now. I know I ain't getting it. I could read the writing on the wall. Speaking of eating, favorite Christmas cookies. I love Christmas because Thanksgiving, it's like all about sides, all about turkey and ham, where Christmas, it's all about sweets. It's all about sugar and candy and ice cream and gumdrops, and it just makes you feel good inside and hyper and then crash.
Gumdrops? I can't even... I don't even know if I've ever even had a gumdrop.
Ash,
candy corn.
Is it the candy corn of Christmas? No, I feel like fruitcake is the candy corn of Christmas.
There's nothing wrong with fruitcake.
Don't put candy corn in the same category as fruitcake.
It's
don't
the exact same
don't
category.
Don't you dare.
They are two separate food groups, and they are both amazing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sugar versus sugar bread. I'm sorry. I didn't know that it deciphers down that much.
You get a nice... slice of holiday bread with these little tasty treats hidden in the middle of it. It's like surprises.
Surprises. What are you seriously saying right now that you like fruitcake?
I'll eat a slice of fruitcake a year.
I don't.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I was about ready to say, all are doing this just to screw with me now.
No, I usually like to, but I can't on fruitcake. I can't get down with
how?
That.
How?
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing wrong with it.
There is.
What?
A lot of things.
Like?
It's stale bread with hard grandma candy in it.
I love my grandma.
I love my grandma, too, but I don't like the candy that she puts out on the counter.
The mysterious candies that don't have a name. They just have different colored wrappers.
Yeah.
You're like, who makes this?
The strawberry wrapper. That you only see those at Christmas.
Yep.
They're wrapped like a strawberry. Those are amazing. Yeah. Those
who makes candies. Them? We don't know.
I don't know.
Nobody knows.
They just show up at Christmas time.
They make them in France.
But there's the French salad.
I don't dislike. It's not like I've got to have a slice of fruitcake every year, but I'm not going to turn it down.
See, I would turn that down. Yikes. I would say, do you have something else?
I don't know if I've ever been offered fruitcake, so I don't know what I would say. Probably no. But Pepsi Cola bottling. Max is gone.
I will take a slice of fruitcake over a gingerbread man any day.
Ooh, hot take there. That's interesting. I'm not a big fan of gingerbread man either.
And I'm hoping he heard that as soon as he got outside the door and it was locked.
Yeah. No, for me.
Hard stale gingerbread? No.
Yeah, that's a tough one because you have a very short window to get it while it's still like fresh before it turns completely hard and like a brick. So for me, I'm a big fan of like anything that's chocolate and peppermint mixed together. Like I'm not like particular about what kind of cookie or how you're doing it. Is if it has those two flavors in there, that's probably up there as top two or three Christmas flavor
sugar cookies. Got to be on the top of my list too, just because this is the only time that we have them.
Yeah.
And then I remember back home growing up in Texas, my grandmother used to make I forgot what they were called. They were like a Mexican wedding cookie or something like that, but it was just dough, just barely rolled and then baked, and it was covered in powdered sugar. Those were also amazing at times, too. But you really can't go wrong. I mean, I don't know what it is about Christmas, but there are cookies everywhere. Chocolate chip, peanut butter.
Butter
cookies?
Butter cookies, yep.
Butter cookies?
Yep. Yeah. No, they're everywhere, and it's a great time.
The tins, the tins of all those little small cookies, you can eat a bunch of those and not feel bad because they're small.
Do you like the packages of chocolate that you don't know what they are, like they're just the assorted chocolates, and you're like, what do you think that one has in it?
Yes.
And you just take a chance
yes.
and see what you get.
Yes. No, don't squeeze them. Use it.
Yeah. Don't put your finger in. You just got to go with chance.
Luck of the draw.
Yeah.
Luck of the draw. It's what you get. It's what you get.
Yep. So with the college football playoff, we're not going to get any more updates here until about 2 o'clock. So our show is going to be long gone by then. We'll be tweeting out throughout the day here as we kind of keep up with this and watch at the same time that we're watching NFL. I still have not set my team. I need to do that here while we talk about women's basketball. But
I'll take women's basketball for a second, give you a chance to set your lineup there.
Perfect.
But if you listen to our podcast, we did a recap of the women's game from this last week. They faced Morehead State. They were able to hang 30 on them. 87-57, Macy Morris basically beat Morehead State in the first half by herself.
Yeah, she did. Was it 25-23?
Yeah, Macy Morris won by two in the first half.
Love that.
But played a great, great game. They played four games in 7 days at a very, very high level after they swept the Virgin Islands tournament down there. So they've had the week off since last Wednesday. They will take the court this Thursday. They have not released the game time yet. It will be on the SEC Network. They'll be taking on the University of Rhode Island. It will either be at 7 p.m. or 9 p.m. And I'm going to say, go out on a limb, it is a Friday-Saturday matchup for the volleyball team. I'm going to say they're probably going to have the first game with Minnesota being the home team. They'll play the latter game that day. So they probably will have 6 or 7 start time for them out there as well. So those are the two games we got going on this week. Saturday we've got men's basketball out in New York City, up in Madison Square Garden, taking on Seton Hall. That'll be a big test for them, too, and we can start matching up against teams down the road that have also played Seton Hall since they're a pretty decent program.
Yep.
But that's basically what we've got going on right now. We've got Coach Barnhart will have a press conference this evening at 6 o'clock after the bowls are announced. My guess on Kentucky's bowls that we're going to the Citrus to play Penn State.
Yep.
I think they're going to pretty much stay true to the rankings that they've got right now, and that's where it'll fall out. The only nightmare I would have is something falls out and they put us up against a Big 12 team in that game, and that's next in line's Texas.
Yep, they sure are.
That would be awkward.
Yeah, that would be awkward.
But Penn State.
That's exactly when you would need that pullover that Maxwell Smith wears on the sideline. That's orange with the UK logo.
Maxwell, so
the burnt orange.
If I could get down to his size, I would.
We were on the sideline somewhere. We were on the sideline for the UofL game, and he came by, and I talked to him for a second. I could just see the look in your eyes. You just wanted to snatch it right off his back.
I was trying to think of how much weight I would have to lose to be able to fit into that. That's a very nice pullover. It's a burnt orange pullover with the new Wildcat logo on it. It's both my worlds coming together at once.
Yeah, yeah. So the big question, I think, going into bowl preparation for Kentucky is, you know, we'll talk. I don't know if we'll have enough time to talk about it today here. We can try. But if not, we have plenty of other shows before the bowl game starts just on how important these practices are.
20
leading up to, yeah, you get 20 practices, which is a whole nother offseason that you get in prepping for this game. But one of the other parts of this is with some of these guys that we have that are going to be NFL bound, are they going to be playing in the bowl game? I don't think anybody's come out yet and said that they're not. I think there's kind of been answers that are leaving the door open for it and just saying, you know, as of right now, I'm planning on playing. This is what I'm doing, and I'm hoping none of that changes. But we've already seen, I believe it was Houston, Oliver, what's the defensive end's name?
I think
he already said
more issues going on.
Yeah, there might be. But do you expect our guys, Josh Allen, Benny Snells, Mike Edwards, all of them to play in the bowl game?
I do. I think the attitude of this team and the way they've been playing for each other, it's almost like when you go back to Jeff Brohm, his decision when he had that interview after he decided to stay at Purdue, he just couldn't look himself in the mirror if he had left. And I think these guys feel the same way. And I don't know, you can read into it what you will, Benny's comments after the Louisville game, his comments were leaving the door open that he'll return.
Yeah.
That he still has goals, and the goals are very important to him. And that he understands that, yes, the shelf life of a running back is short-lived because of the contact that they get on every single play that they run the ball. But, I mean, his comments were, if I can remember right, I'm a young man and I have plenty of time to make my money.
Yeah.
He goes, my goals are important to me. So read into it what you want, BBN, but you know, nothing's going to surprise me one way or the other. But I fully expect all these guys to play in a bowl. Plus, with Benny, he wants to make amends for last year's bowl game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. And to me, this is the reason that these guys came back. Granted, they're probably not at the point, midway through the season on where they thought they would be of getting into a New Year's Six Bowl. They're going to be in the Citrus Bowl, which is just outside of that, but it's not into that middle tier of six games. This is still the biggest bowl that we've been to as a program in a very, very long time. And for me, this is the reason they came back. This is the reason that they said, we're going to stick out a senior year and we're going to do what this team does. So I think you're right. In my mind, I think these guys have to play. That's just unfinished business that they're going to leave out there on the table of the whole reason that they did, that they came back for this entire season and put so much into this program. So I fully expect, but at the same, in the same breath, if they decide not to, it'd be tough, but I understand. I understand right. if they're not going to, but I hope that they will, and I think that they're going to be able to make it through this game without injury.
A lot of the ones that you see, I mean, I don't think Mike Edwards or Josh Allen are at risk for injury out of their positions, but it's a contact sport. You never know what happens.
Yeah.
But I think with Josh and his situation, being up one of the four or five finalists for Player of the Year,
yeah,
the only defensive player, the yeah. only non-quarterback.
It's the Walter Campbell Award, yeah, yeah. right? The only non-quarterback.
Yeah. So either he would be the winner of that award mm-hmm. going into this bowl game and want to represent and honor that award, or yeah. he will have not won that award and want to prove to everybody why he should have been.
Yeah, and here over these last couple of weeks, even some of the guys that have been putting together the big board for the NFL draft, your Mel Kuypers and things like that, are they have him in the top four.
Yep.
You know, they have Bosa from Ohio State mm-hmm. as the number one guy that's going to go as a defensive end. But then Josh Allen's right there behind a couple other guys as the number one outside linebacker.
And when you get into the top two or three of your side of the football, whether it be offense, whether it be defense, you could easily go number one. You could easily go number three. It all really depends on who that top team is that gets the first pick in the draft and what their needs are. You
yep,
never know.
I agree.
Look at Baker Mayfield.
Yep.
Everybody had him falling to the second round last year, and all of a sudden he becomes the number one pick the night before.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you have the list? I don't know. Do you have like the games coming up this week on things that we need to be watching out for, things we're going to be covering? I know we're kind of
on a break. Yeah, I just did that. I know you were setting your lineup. But while you're
setting, is that what I was doing?
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. That mumbling you heard in the background.
Oh, yeah. You were talking?
That's what I was doing.
Good.
So, but just so you know.
Yeah.
So you know.
Yeah.
On Thursday, the women's basketball team plays Rhode Island, either at 7 or 9. Don't know yet.
Yep.
Women's volleyball, only volleyball. We don't have a men's team.
True.
they are a Friday, Saturday. I'm going to go out on a limb and say 6 or 7 o'clock on Friday they'll play Nebraska.
Yep.
And then it'll be 7 or 8 o'clock they'll face Minnesota on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And then the men are Saturday at 1, I believe, men's basketball at 1
mm-hmm.
in Madison Square Garden up in New York City.
Yep.
Taking on Seton Hall.
Love
so
it.
Really, that's all. I mean, it's kind of it's not that downtime, but we will have a press conference from Mark Stoops. He's hot on the recruiting trail right now. Big get out of that. JJ
Huge
out of Moore.
Get. Yep. JJ Weaver.
And this Thursday, I think, is the date that Jared Casey from Ballard, if I have the name right, who decommitted from Oregon, he's going to recommit to a program this week.
Yep. Hey, we'll see.
Never
it's
know.
A big week right now.
It is a big.
I think this whole Jeff Brohm thing has helped Kentucky tremendously on being able to do this. I know, you know, and it was reported that Wandale Robinson, if Jeff Brohm had come to Louisville, that he was going to consider them as well. So that was a huge save for
He's got a great program there.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Wandale can say that, but if he wasn't going to go to Purdue for Jeff, he's not going to go to Louisville for Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I think that was just some news to get out there. But this could be a big, big recruiting week for us this week. And hopefully whenever Stoops' press conference on Friday at 5:30, it'll be Friday afternoon press conference, we'll learn more about his thoughts in the bowl preparation by the football team.
Yep. Stay tuned for some more coming from us. Podcasts all this week on updates as things happen. A lot of bowl talk. You have been listening to BBN Chalk Talk on 590 WVLK 97.3 FM, presented by G&J Pepsi Cola Bottling. For Greg Lyle and for Max was here.
Who knows where he went.
Yeah, who knows. This is Matt Smith. You've been listening to BBN Chalk Talk. Have a good afternoon.